Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Molly and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Well, it's always an honor to go up against great coaches. I mean, Andy will be a Hall of Fame coach here in the future at some point down the road. And, you know, I've learned, and I've said this time and time again, I've learned a lot from Andy Reid in my time with him in Philadelphia. And so I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and his family, the way they helped guide me then and still do today.
Look for the challenge of playing the Bills. So they're a good football team, well coached. I mean, Sean's done a tremendous job there. He's got really good coordinators, head coach caliber coordinators, and they're just a real good football team. Every angle you look at, they're a good football team and have talent.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And there you heard the voice of Sean McDermott first talking about playing against Hall of Fame coaches, meaning Andy Reid. He once worked for him, and Andy fired him for Juan Castillo, now the Bears offensive line coach, who became the defensive coordinator in Philly after McDermott was fired. And then you heard from Andy, and that's Andy Reid. He is the reigning Super Bowl champion head coach. And finally broke through after all low these many years because, in large part, he's got the best quarterback out there in Patrick Mahomes. And I think that when you look at that game, there's a lot to it. And frankly, David, I think the answer to the question, and this is not a knock on Sean McDermott, but I think one of those things is not like the other. One of those things you didn't know at the beginning of the year did belong. So he has done a remarkable job getting that team together. He's got a good coaching staff. They have made that quarterback a better player. There was a time where the development of Josh Allen was questionable, where it was uncertain, where you didn't know what you had with the quarterback, but they stayed with it, and they've seen the breakthrough in his third year. It's exactly the sort of progression that you want with the quarterback. And now all of a sudden, you got the defense, you got the quarterback, you got a complete football team. Now, how complete is it? How are you going to score enough points? How are you going to keep yourself out of some sort of track meet with Patrick Mahomes back practicing and the concussion protocol that hasn't technically been lifted yet, but the guy, you know, that you have to say limited, but he took every snap in practice. I don't know if that is limited.
Yeah, I think, that goes without saying that Patrick Mahomes likely will play, and if he doesn't, that's going to be the big headline. That'll be the bigger surprise. But I think everyone sort of expects that. I am in agreement with you, I suppose. If I had to pick one, check a box, who has done the best coaching job of the four remaining teams? Sean McDermott, because the Bills are maybe the surprise entrant into the Final Four. They are the, you know, the Loyola, if you will. They are the underdog, Valparaiso. They are the Cinderella of this group. because Josh Allen is what here in Chicago in the context of what you thought Mitch Trubisky was going to be. You wanted him to develop at the same kind of rate, and you wanted to, you know, you thought that maybe this was the trajectory the Bears were on back in 2018 when things were so good not that long ago. But I think it's a fair question, because I think that sometimes we assume that guys who are, you know, at the top of their profession, the challenges are just easily handled. And I think that the other three guys are at the top of the profession. And Matt LaFleur, I didn't think would be here that quickly. And I think that I want to give him the credit that he has surprised me. And maybe that's just me, Mully. I didn't think that they would be this would be as seamless of an operation 2 years into the Matt LaFleur regime in Green Bay as it has become. But he has done things really well, and I think it goes beyond maybe the offensive command that Aaron Rodgers lends you. I think defensively he's done a nice job of knowing what he doesn't know, staying out of Mike Pettine's way, and bringing it all together. So,
see, that's the problem, Dave. I you know, here's the thing. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I don't know much about Matt LaFleur. I don't have a ton of understanding of what he's done.
Why you got to do that? Why you got to mock his name?
I'm not mocking his name. It means the flower in French. I love the flower. I think it's a beautiful name. And let me tell you something. A name of like any other would not smell as sweet. Yeah. What? I don't know the man, okay? The flower's a mystery to me to a certain extent. I think he's a guy that has a good background in offense. I think he's done a good job of adding some elements to it. I also think that when you come to a team that has the defensive coordinator and you're going to invest in the defense and you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you know, I get it. There are things that you have to do and there are things you've got to get done. But Patton's another one of these guys who is kind of, you know, in charge of his own little fiefdom. He's one of the knights of the realm, but he's king of the north, and he's just kind of connected to these guys. So I don't have a major issue with how they've gone about it, but to me, the quarterback has been the story there. And you know, as much as Bruce Arians has butted heads with Tom, and there's been different moments that you kind of chuckled at as you saw that relationship unfold, you know, Todd Bowles a hell of a defensive coordinator. And Tom Brady knows how to win. And he can come in and teach everyone how to win. I just think that when you see a guy that good at the quarterback position, the coach is never going to get huge credit for it. You know, it is kind of Phil Jackson syndrome where mm-hmm. you have to figure out a way to get the great players to play together, not figure out a way to kind of invent something. So I think it's fairly obvious that McDermott is the one guy. He's the only guy that's not an offensive guy. He's the only guy that didn't come into the season with a great quarterback. And I think great quarterbacks wind up in championship games. And that, you know, Tom's been in, 15 of them. Rodgers is in 5. Mahomes, this is his second in a row, right? I mean, did they get to one the year? No, they didn't. He wasn't. It's just an easier trip when you have that solved. And when you don't have it solved, you're like the Bears. You can jump up and you can make an impact every once in a while, but you can't sustain it.
And yet, I think on Monday morning, we could be talking about the way the Packers defense was able to shut down the Buccaneers offense and Tom Brady, and how they have been this unit that has been largely overlooked in the second half of the season, or at least the latter 5 or 6 games when they've been really pretty good and they've gotten after the quarterback and they've, you know, been opportunistic. And, you know, you don't hear Mike Pettine's name associated with a lot of head coaching openings. And you wonder a little bit about that, because when you look at the Green Bay Packers, the defense is the easiest thing to take for granted. And I'm not sure that we'll be doing that once we start to look at why they won. Now, Rodgers is Rodgers, and, you know, that greatness is something that you have come to expect from him in that offense because of the flower and the way that they have blossomed with him as head coach. But I do think the defense gets a little bit overlooked, and I it's interesting to me because when you have, you know, when you have a defense that is as good as the Packers has been, it's you know, you don't necessarily give Patton the credit maybe he has deserved or earned, but if they stunk, he'd be the first guy you point the finger at is why this isn't working.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's kind of a natural thing when you are a quarterback-driven team, don't you always say that if it can't be his fault, or if you know you come up with reasons to kind of protect your guy? Mm-hmm. You know, let me ask you this question: if Aaron Rodgers, you know, has a bad game, do we credit Todd Bowles? If Drew Brees has a bad game, do we blame Sean Payton, or do we say Drew Brees is too old and has a noodle arm?
I think it depends on how bad they look. You know, Drew Brees looked like a guy who was ready for retirement. And so when you know going in that, you know, it's hard to say anything negative about a guy who has been as good as long as he was. But he did not have the arm strength, and he wasn't able to push the ball down the field. So you're reluctant to give too much credit to the defense against a guy who is clearly at the end of his career, and retirement sounds like the right idea. If Rodgers struggles again, and I say that again because if you look at his numbers in NFC Championship games relative to his greatness, they are pedestrian, and I think they're not good enough. You expect so much out of him. You expect him to be at the top of his game. So it depends on whether or not they're unforced errors. It depends on whether or not this defense has the look of a championship defense. And you're right, Todd Bowles is the guy I thought of when we saw who the Eagles made their head coaching move, and they interviewed Todd Bowles, and they went with the unproven, inexperienced 39-year-old Sirianni instead. And Todd Bowles could be coming could be coaching a Super Bowl defense next week, and I think that's something that you will want to give him some credit. But everything's about context. But I wouldn't underestimate the Buccaneer defense either. That's going to be that'll probably be the reason they win, if they win. I don't think they can, but I think if they do, it'll be because Todd Bowles found a way to shut down that offense.
Well, and Tom Brady has played well, of late, and is certainly capable of playing well, error-free football as much as anything else. I'll be very curious to see how that game unfolds and you know, who kind of holds their water when it matters most. It's going to be a fun game. It really is. I think it's a difficult one for Bears fans because I don't think anybody wants to cheer for the Packers, but I also think that it's hard to watch Tom Brady get to another Super Bowl. I mean, it's just so...
If you're a Bears fan, you have one instinct this weekend, don't you? And I don't want to speak on behalf of Bears fans, but don't you have one prevailing thought in your head? It is go Bills. You are a proxy member of the Bills Mafia this weekend because that is the only team it doesn't hurt to watch. You don't. You're kind of sick of Brady. You certainly are sick of Aaron Rodgers and everything Packers. You don't want to watch Patrick Mahomes celebrate anything. You're tired of that show. So now it's like, go Bills.
I think, you know, there's a distinct possibility that if you're watching Kansas City play, they pull off a kind of jet sweep with the tight end, and it works. And then you're sitting there like, oh, my God, like there's more permission. And I think that's part of the problem with Kansas City. The more success they have, the more likely it is that that Matt Nagy runs that scheme.
I think that's hilarious how you watch the Chiefs games that way. Like everything that works for them, you're like, oh, that was really pretty. But, oh, my gosh, that means we're going to try to see that time and again. Another page in the playbook.
Oh, no, they're going to run that. Oh, no.
The play collector gets another one.
Off. Yeah.
Imagine how that play sheet's going to look on the dining room wall.
Oh, God. Man. Do we know that he's running his scheme? Let me ask something. I'm going to say this to you, and I please ridicule me, and everybody get ready to start texting. Would they be better off with Nick Foles as the starter if Matt Nagy wants to run his scheme? Given the fact that they had a year together and they'd never been together, and, you know, it doesn't seem like Mitch has a future here. just is in terms of blame game type, how you move forward. I believe Nick Foles is under contract. What if they open the season with him as the starter? Where are you?
It would mean something else has gone terribly wrong. You know, that's got to be a contingency plan, but it's got to be contingency plan C, D, E, or F. I can't see it being the first or second option. I think that you have to move on from Mitch Trubisky. You have to try to come up with some creative alternatives depending on who's available. And then you have to look at the draft, and you have to look at how high you might be picking. I hesitate to even mention the possibility of moving up if there's a guy you're convicted to get. I don't think that would be a part of the thinking. But Nick Foles starting week one for the Bears in 2021, that's probably on the list of possibilities. But let's hope it's lower rather than higher, because that doesn't seem to me like it says anything about progress.
If he's the starter, would you have preferred they stayed with Mitch?
No.
So Mitch is gone in your mind. He has to go. It's over.
Well, I just don't know that you're – I don't know that he's earned the right to – I think it's best for everybody. Let's put it that way. I just think it's there are times in people's careers and their lives and everything where change benefits all parties involved. I just can't get past that feeling in my own head that is where Mitch Trubisky and the Bears are, because bringing him back and expecting a different result, I think, is kind of naive, and it would be not something I would recommend at all.
We have some interesting news. The NFL is going to invite about 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers to the Super Bowl under a plan devised in consultation with public health officials that'll allow 14,500 other fans into Raymond James Stadium for a crowd that will total 22,000 on February 7th in Tampa.
Boy, what are the numbers in Florida? What are the numbers? I know why they want these fans in the stands. I know that they're going to do it again Sunday in Lambeau Field and these places, but you get sports news that like this and updates, and then you're like, okay, that's good because it's progress. And then you turn on the nightly news or you see the other right headlines about what's going on nationally with the numbers and how it's going to get worse before it gets better still. And I'm not sure those two things are compatible. And I cringe almost every time I see a headline like that.
Okay. 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw. Biggs time. The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a dear and valued friend, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I think there's a lot happening. It seems it's all sort of people leaving and not people coming in. But it's a difficult time in the hiring cycle because there are other places putting coaching staffs together, and we've seen guys already kind of sign up. Where does that leave the Bears? Are there plenty of offensive guys floating around? You can get a running backs coach. You can get yourself a passing game coordinator, QB coach, whatever it might be. What about, how hard is it to get a defensive coordinator in this world?
Well, I mean, it's something that takes time, and obviously the coordinator position is the biggest thing that Matt Nagy's got to fill, because, you know, they need a defensive line coach, and you're going to want to know what kind of vision and direction and maybe goals your coordinator has before you go out and hire that guy. But this is a staff that's gone over considerable turnover. If you just look at the either coordinators or position coaches that Matt Nagy had to begin with in 2018 when he arrived, you've got two guys left standing, Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator, and Mike Furry, the wide receivers coach. And I think I've expressed to you guys how, you know, the work that his group has done has not looked real good. So you wonder about the future of a guy like Mike Furry. But at this point, with as many moving parts as they have, is it a situation where Matt Nagy maybe doesn't want to add to the turnover for him and the work ahead of him? You could always find guys that are going to take the job. The challenge is finding the right guys, making the right hires to help your football team get better.
How much should we read into that turnover, Brad? The four assistant coaches that have left so far, maybe more to come, but how much of that is related to just guys taking better opportunities, or in the case of Chuck Pagano, just walking away, or is it the instability that suggests with the head coach?
I want to say that it's probably more guys going for better opportunities, although I can certainly understand how, you know, it doesn't look good. But, I mean, take, for instance, the case of Charles London, the running backs coach. He departs to become the quarterbacks coach of the Atlanta Falcons. That's a promotion. I mean, a running backs coach is near the bottom of the totem pole. If Charles London wants to advance and maybe has goals of eventually becoming a coordinator and moving up the chain, going to coach quarterbacks is a pretty good idea. That is going to expand his resume a little bit. Dave Ragone will go from passing game coordinator, which was sort of a created position by the Bears this past year. I thought, and I expressed this earlier this week, they had five quarterbacks coaches last season. That's probably one or two too many, right? So he goes to Atlanta and has a better title. He's offensive coordinator, albeit under Arthur Smith, the head coach, who I would assume there's a good chance he runs the offense. But that's probably a better move for him. In the case of a guy like Jay Rogers, I don't know exactly what title he's going to have yet, but he was out of contract, so he's a free agent, and there's a lot of factors in play there. Certainly one of them would be what appears to be the stability of your current situation versus getting in on the front end of a new deal for a new coach with the Chargers.
You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score. We're talking to Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune, and we want to remind you, make sure you don't miss BetQL's countdown to kickoff. It's Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m., hosted by Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet podcast, as well as sportscaster Sarah Perlman. The BetQL countdown to kickoff will serve as a preview to the championship Sunday's games on The Score. Both games will be here featuring the show will feature a mix of sports gambling and will be here on Super Bowl Sunday as well. And, Brad, these games, you know, we look at the connections that you can find between the Bears and these teams. And, look, you know, we all know Andy Reid is mentor to Matt Nagy. We know that Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback and he wasn't taken here. We know that Bruce Arians is the head coach in Tampa and he's not here, where he once interviewed was a finalist for the job that went to Mark Trestman. I think if you want to, you can look through these games and find all sorts of connections, but not necessarily happy ones between the Bears and the teams that are in the Final Four. Are there lessons? Are there things that that you can apply from these teams and how they got there and where the Bears are in their situation?
Well, I don't want to oversimplify it, but all four teams have got a quarterback, right? First place they'd start when you look at the emergence of Josh Allen in Buffalo this season, and really – I think if I was to fill out an MVP ballot, and I didn't, and I was asked for my top three, I might go Rodgers, Allen, and then Mahomes. I thought Josh Allen was that impactful to what the Buffalo Bills did this season. A guy who, you know, had some rough patches in his first 2 years, but has really come on. And that's what you haven't been able to see for this Trubisky with the Bears. But boy, you look at Green Bay and Chicago, and Green Bay just got a stronghold on that thing. They've got and it's not just the quarterback. They've got a better roster. You know, you watch them, they can get after the quarterback, I think, with a little more consistency than the Bears do. But the question I have is, are they going to be able to stop the run if Bruce Arians wants to try to attack him that way? Because I think that's the weakness of the Packers' defense in that game. But I thought, like, all week that could be a 10-point game for Green Bay. That really, the way I looked at it, I think the Bucs will have to get some takeaways in order to really have a strong chance in a game, which they were able to pull off against Drew Brees and the Saints this past week. But I look for that to be a Packers win right there, guys.
Brad, what did you make of Dan Campbell's introductory press conference with the Lions, and how much faith do you have that tough-minded mentality and that tough talking head coach is going to make any sort of difference in Detroit?
It was entertaining. I was happy for my friends in the Motown media who get to, you know, go through that and have some fun with it. Maybe he'll be able to motivate some guys. I don't know. He said, you know, some stuff that makes sense. He talked about playing to the strengths of your best players and, you know, a lot of stuff you never really saw Matt Patricia do. It seems like he likes the idea of Matthew Stafford moving forward, although, you know, that can always change if you have a draft pick fall in your lap in round one, right? Here's the amazing thing to me with this Dan Campbell situation in Detroit, guys. And it's something to keep in mind when you're talking about a team changing head coaches, is Dan Campbell got a 6-year contract from the Ford family to be the head coach of the Detroit Lions. 6 years. His leverage was okay, I'll stay here in New Orleans with Sean Payton and coach tight ends. That was his leverage. This wasn't a bidding war where they had to keep another team from signing Dan Campbell as their head coach. He got a 6-year contract. And what we've seen in this hiring cycle in the last couple of years is the agents have gotten more power in the process. Matt Nagy was the first guy to begin his Bears career with a 5-year contract. As we know, he'll be going into the fourth year of that. Well, Dan Campbell's a guy with, he did an interim head coach for a very brief stint with the Dolphins, and he was a tight ends coach. So that's something to keep in mind, I think, moving forward when you wonder what are teams going to do and what are they willing to do to replace their head coach.
Matt Patricia for Bears defensive coordinator. He's available, right?
Oh, man. Oh,
wow. I mean, the problem with that is none of the meetings are going to start on time. I don't know that that'll work.
You'd have to improve your posture, Biggs.
Yeah. Well, especially on Zoom, I mean, right?
Oh, brother.
Brad, we'll let you go. But as you look at this and we sit here and where you're at right now, you see Tom Brady come in, and that is a guy that is a veteran quarterback that joined the team, that put in all this extra work. It still is a little bit of a toffee pull. I mean, that's one of the great leaders, winners, maybe the best ever quarterback, and he's gotten a team there. Does that underscore how difficult it is to go out and get a guy, even a veteran guy, and bring him into a program and expect to have kind of immediate success with him? And I asked the question because we talked a little earlier about Nick Foles and if he is still in their future plans. And if, he's still going to be here. But Jameis Winston signed a contract with a 1-year deal with Pittsburgh. I'm not saying that he was a guy they were eyeballing, but he's one of the guys that's on the list out there. There is not a ton of depth to the list in terms of quarterback, veteran quarterback, if indeed you lose Mitch Trubisky or let him go, whatever way you want to put it, as expected. What's your take on how difficult it is to go get a veteran guy and bring him in and try to turn a program around?
I mean, that's going to be really difficult to do because there's not going to be a guy with Brady's level of experience on the street. And we're looking at another offseason where things will likely be done virtually. There's not going to be your traditional offseason program at Hallis Hall. There's not going to be OTAs, right? There's probably not going to be your standard mini camp. It's going to look different. So you're not going to have the guy on the field with your players. Your coaches aren't going to have their hands on him. It's just a strong possibility of it sort of being a virtual process again. And so I think while Tom Brady has been able to pull it off with a veteran coach like Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay, I mean, those guys have got immeasurable experience in the process. There's not going to be another Brady out there. You're going to have a lot of teams in the quarterback market. Even if a guy like Stafford stays in Detroit, even if Arthur Smith keeps a aging Matt Ryan in Atlanta, there's still a ton of teams that are going to be looking to improve that position. It's going to be fascinating because there's going to be some musical chairs at the quarterback position, but you've really got some teams that are looking to get better there.
All right, Bigsy, thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
You take care.
That's the football man from the Chicago Tribune. We've got to get right to Mark Grody with an update, and then we've got Joe Fortenbaugh. So we got a lot lined up, and then we'll hopefully talk to you guys. It's Mully and Haw with Mark Grody. Grody time! Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, it's our man in Vegas, Joe Fortenbaugh. You catch him daily on the Daily Wager, 5 p.m. on the Four Letter Network. He does radio Saturdays, College Game Day. He is a man among men, and he's brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Joseph, always a joy. How are you, our friend?
Morning, Joe.
Yeah, boys. Here we go. Championship weekend. This is it. This is simultaneously one of the most exciting times of the year and also one of the saddest because it means we're coming to a close on our weekly conversation. So I always get a little emotional this time of year, but we try to close out big this weekend. Couple games plus a big UFC fight tomorrow night. We'll get into that in a few moments. And then 2 weeks from now, it's the big show. Lots of props, lots of bets. Then we get ready. Sox-Cubs World Series. Who says no? Probably the Cubs, but we'll see. Maybe they'll turn it around by the time we get to spring training this year.
Yeah, Joe, it's a little early to be drinking on a Friday morning. I mean, let's not get carried away. It is kind of sad to look at the end of this football season coming ahead. And so, you know, this I think everyone talks about last week being the best weekend. This week is this day in the NFL calendar is tough to top because everything that is at stake, and you know something's going to happen you don't expect. I don't know what it'll be, but that's why you can't expect it.
The thing about this Sunday, and you make a great point, David, not just this Sunday, but the Super Bowl, for those, and your listeners all fall into this category, but for those of us who live and breathe this stuff, when you wake up on those days, the day feels different, right? Like there are a few days on the calendar year that feel different. Your birthday feels a little bit different. Certain holidays feel a little bit different. Championship Sunday and then the Super Bowl. You get up and you've got your errands. You've got your things you got to do in life. But you also know that these games take such precedence, the magnitude of them, that everything kind of gravitates around it. Picking up the food, the booze, whatever you need for the games to get ready, like that's the big focus of these days. So it's extraordinary that we made it to this point. You know, credit to the NFL when 5-6 months ago we weren't even sure if this would get pulled off. Now we have three more games we need to figure out a way through. And the number one topic of conversation this week is the injury suffered by Patrick Mahomes, you know, last weekend and whether or not he's going to play. So if you guys are ready to dive in, where do you want to start? AFC, NFC, or UFC? We got a lot of C's we got to discuss, a lot of C's.
Let's go with the first game on the docket, my friend.
All right, so the NFC Championship game, Tampa Bay, Green Bay rematch from Week 6. Some people will look back to Week 6, and they'll try to glean any sort of information or analysis they can, right? So what do we know about that game that we can apply here? Well, it was Week 6. It was a while ago. It was in Tampa. This game is not in Tampa. The weather was nice for that game. It's not going to be nice for this game. And at the same time, this is what a lot of people overlook. Look at the situation for that game. All right, Green Bay was 4-0, and they were coming off a Monday night win against Atlanta. So they had to travel to Tampa on a short week. That's not the case for them here. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay had 10 days to get ready for that game because they had played the Bears in Chicago on Thursday night. Huge win for the Bears earlier in the season. So the situation is nowhere close to what it was then, and I think that helped motivate Tampa Bay, and it also put Green Bay in a disadvantageous situation. Bookmakers saw this game. They opened it Green Bay -4.5, and immediately it was bet down to 3.5. Now, if you remember from last week when we had the conversation about the Tampa Bay-New Orleans game, same thing happened. New Orleans comes out as a 4-point favorite, immediately gets bet down to 3, and then it just sits there until game day. We talked on Friday. Sunday, that game started getting hit like crazy by a very sophisticated group who liked Tampa Bay. They knocked it down to 2.5. So Tampa Bay has been a very favorite team of the Sharps the last few weeks. They like the way Brady and the Bucks have played. All right, they came off the bye. They haven't lost since. And that's the situation they're looking at. Here it could be similar. It came down to 3.5. I'm telling you, if you like the Packers, I think you're going to be able to get 3. There have been some 3s out there this week, not a lot, but that's the way to play it. If you like Green Bay, you're going to play the 3. If you like Tampa Bay, you have to get 3.5 or better. I can tell you the sophisticated guys are going to be playing Tampa Bay at 3.5 or better. That's where they're going to be. Personally, I'm going against that. I'm going to be playing Green Bay here. I don't agree with where they're at. I'm playing the Packers -3. Reason number one, all right, this is going to be Tampa Bay on the road for their 5th time in 6 weeks. 3rd straight road game, fifth road game in 6 weeks. That will take its toll. Number two, again, the cold weather. A lot of people could say, ah, it's an old age handicap. It doesn't really matter. It does to the team that falls behind in the second half. You see teams in that weather start to wilt and start to lose their interest. And I'm not going to say they quit, but it really does take its toll. You saw it with the Rams last week. The further they fell behind, the less inclined they were to start making big plays. And we saw it with Tennessee as well in the regular season towards the end of the year on that Sunday night. So I'm looking at the Packers here. I know they've got very smart, competent quarterback play. Both teams do. But when this game is all said and done, I'm going to lay the three with Green Bay. I think they got the firepower advantage. They got the rest advantage. Home field, I think, is going to be very big for this situation because of the weather. I will be playing Green Bay. I'm also going to be playing the under at 51.5. That's not going to be a very popular play. I understand that. It is actually ticking up as well. It's gone from 51 to 51.5. I'm playing the under because I don't think either team is going to be in a rush to get up and down the field. Tampa Bay's key to winning this game is going to be running the football. Okay, running the football. They got 127 yards out of Fournette and Jones last week. Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny, looked really, really fresh in that game. And Green Bay's weak spot is the run defense. All right, you are able to run on them. Cam Akers averaged 5 yards a carry in last week's loss for the Los Angeles Rams when they were there. So what's going to happen here is I see Tampa Bay, A, being able to run the ball, B, Tom Brady like the old days in New England, taking the play clock all the way down, running the ball, short to intermediate passing game, eating up 6-7 yards on drive, 6-7 minutes per drive. That's what I see there. For Green Bay, no one was slower in terms of pace than the Packers last year. Aaron Rodgers loves to bleed the clock all the way down. I'm going under 51.5. So those are the two plays. We'll play the Packers -3. We're going to play under 51.5. I'd also play Aaron Jones, Packer running back, under 62.5 rushing yards. A.J. Dillon's getting some more of the workload. Jamal Williams is getting some more of the workload. Tampa's got a pretty good run defense. Under 62.5 yards for Aaron Jones as well.
Joe, if there's one team left I think Bears fans might be pulling for, it's the Bills. A lot of similarities in the fan bases, perhaps. And obviously, you've got the Patrick Mahomes factor. I think nobody in Chicago wants to see him at the Super Bowl again. But how do you see that game unfolding? Do the Bills have a shot?
Lots of Catholics in Chicago, lots of Catholics in Buffalo. That's a very good draw right there between the two fan bases. Both like to drink beers, both are Catholics. So you got a really good pull. You know what I'd say? I've been saying this for a few weeks as it pertains to the Bills. It's kind of like the Cubs right before they won the World Series. If the Cubs weren't your team, they were your second team. Like everyone in America, if their team was out, they were pulling for the Cubs. I think everyone in America, if their team's out, they're pulling for the Bills just because it's such a wonderful story. Now, it changes once you win, but the ultimate thing is when you're the longtime underdog, people tend to get behind you. So here's where we're at in this game. Chiefs are laying 3, total is 54. It's been this way all week. Obviously, as we wait for Patrick Mahomes. What I can tell you is that if Mahomes is a go to play, if he is going to play, this is going to move up to 3.5 or 4. Okay, we know 3 is a very key number, so that's a significant move. 3.5 or 4, but it shouldn't go much higher. Now, maybe the money will pour in on Kansas City and knock it up higher, but the bookmakers are going to go to 3.5 or 4 if Mahomes is in. Now, if he's not in, this is where it gets interesting. I've heard it could go all the way to Buffalo -2.5. I heard one bookmaker say all the way to Buffalo -6 that it could move 9 points if it's going to be Chad Henne at quarterback. So if you like the Bills, there's probably no major harm in taking a shot here if you want to bet he doesn't play. If you don't think Mahomes is going to play and you like the Bills, you go ahead, you get that 3 in your pocket now. But if you like Mahomes and you think he's going to play, you can jump on the 3 now, right? That's what's going to happen, and it's probably going to tick up to the over as well. That's what we're going to see. Now, in terms of breaking this game down, I've been all over the place on the side. It feels to me, the more the week goes on, everybody I talk to likes Buffalo, and that's what scares me. Everybody is making the case for Buffalo. It feels like they're going to be the public dog this week, that everyone's going to jump behind them. Nothing wrong with that. They've covered a lot of spreads. They've been great for bettors this year. The problem here, however, is how they've won these playoff games. They're 2-0 in the playoffs, but they've been outgained by almost 200 yards. The Colts outgained them, and the Ravens outgained them. All right, that's not a recipe for success. They've been the beneficiaries of several missed field goals, failed two-point attempts, failed fourth down attempts. That type of luck is very difficult to sustain, right? Those breaks happening as consistently as they are very difficult to sustain. They become one-dimensional on offense. They can barely run the ball, so they're throwing it left and right. They only scored 7 offensive points last week against the Ravens, and defensively they struggle to defend the run. And I think the more and more I hear about Buffalo and everyone jumping on them, the more it's pushing me to Kansas City to say, you know what, I think Mahomes is going to play. 3 points looks cheap, to be honest with you. And Kansas City was going to beat Cleveland with Patrick Mahomes. They're going to cover that spread. Everyone keeps talking about Kansas City doesn't cover spreads anymore. Well, they still are hammering opponents. They're just getting backdoored. And these are on games where you have spreads of 9, 10, 11. You know, they were up 19 on Cleveland at halftime. They were up 9 when Mahomes got hurt. Henny took them down a few more yards, and they kicked the field goal to go up 12. I'm going to find myself laying the 3 with Kansas City. Not a true marital hedge like last week, obviously, because I married in the Bills Mafia. I could get beat on both sides here. If I lay the 3 and the Chiefs win by 2, I got a miserable household, and I'm down money. So I'll probably be on the Chiefs' money line a little bit. As for the total, I know some guys are eyeing up the under. I think it's going to go up maybe a point, point and a half if Mahomes does play. I don't have much of a feel there. I kind of lean the under because I think this game's going to be a little bit more sluggish than people anticipate, but not a great feel there. But I will be playing the Chiefs, I'll tell you that much.
And Joe, you said you got a fight?
Yeah, UFC 257, Fight Island, Abu Dhabi, tomorrow night, Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. It's a rematch from when they were together, 2014, September, I believe, when McGregor knocked him out in the first minute 45 of the fight. I'm going to play McGregor here, no surprise. I'm going to play him by KO, TKO, or disqualification. That's where you're laying about 175. So I'll risk 175 bucks. To win 100. It's better than laying the 340 on McGregor. He's in tremendous shape. 18 of his last 20 fights have been stopped, okay? This guy does not go the distance. It's a 5-round fight. He tends to spend a ton of energy early, and his issue is conditioning. Now, he's been working on that in recent years. His conditioning has gotten so much better, but he comes out such an aggressive attack early on. Poirier's a great fighter. He's been very good in his last few outings, but I'm going to take McGregor by the stoppage. I think that's the more reasonable price, minus 175. He's got to win by knockout, technical knockout, or disqualification. If he wins by submission, I would lose there. McGregor by stoppage.
Great stuff, Joe.
All right, buddy. God bless you, Joe.
Have a good weekend.
You guys are the best. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll talk about the opening lines and all that stuff next week, but until then, have a good one, Chicago. I love you.
All righty. That is our guy. That is Joe Fortenbaugh. Always a joy to talk to Joe. And now we've got a special guest coming on. We're going to bring on the Coom Dog. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Cubs. We're going to pick apart what indeed we heard from Chris Bryant, what it means, and we'll do it with Ron Coomer next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!